say thank you, Lord. You are such a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please let's take our seats. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The first Sunday of the last month. Hallelujah. How many people are excited? Come on now. Has God been good to us? He has been good to us. He's given us no cause to cry or to mourn. We are alive. We're well. You know, we came in here. We walked on our own 2 feet. We're here. We can get up. We can sit down. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. A shout of praise. He's good all the time. I know we say it and it sounds like cliche, but the truth is he's good all the time. Amen. And so this morning, I just want to share something really briefly. So 2019 is almost over. And, you know, God's done so many things in 2019. Amen. And, you know, we've been told, our Papa has told us 2020 is a year of pressing in. Okay? So we're going to press into everything God has for us. And I just want to really encourage us today. It's a word of encouragement. So many of us, in fact, all of us, you know, the Bible adjoins us to examine ourselves and take account. Galatians 6 verse 4 says that we should each examine ourselves, just take stock. So it's a good time to just take stock of 2019 and in everything that we do, we give God thanks and praise. So we're not taking stock and saying, no. We're taking stock and saying, Lord, thank you. But also, at the same time, I want us just to take stock of what's gone on in 2019 and examine ourselves and just think of the things that we need to take into 2020. There are 10,001 good stuff that we need to take into 2020. 2020 is going to be a year of pressing in and, you know, God releasing his blessings and all of that. So we have stuff that we need to take in. We're going to take in things like persistence and determination and focus. You know, we've learned, think about what we've been taught over the past few months. No distraction. You know, we're not coming down. So good stuff. Amen. That we're going to take into 2020. But at the same time, I want us not to be delusional. I want us not to be in denial. I want us to just really examine ourselves and think, actually, something here cannot go into 2020. All of us have. Because you know what? God is a God who takes us from one level of glory to another. 2 Corinthians 3:18. From one level of glory to another. So no matter how good or perfect we think we are. How many perfect people are here? Amen. Nobody. You know, we are always a work in progress. So God is always wanting to take us higher. Amen. Put up your hand and say, I'm going higher. No matter how high I am at the moment, I know God has more for me. So I'm going to press into what God has for me in 2020. And in doing that, you know, we're going to take all the good stuff, but then also we're going to eliminate the bad stuff. Amen. Say to your neighbor, say, eliminate. Eradicate. Delete. Remove. The bad stuff. Because some things cannot go into 2020 with us. They will hinder us. So say to your neighbor and say, you got to fix it. Fix the issues. You know, there's a saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, you know the saying? So if it's broke, what do? We got to fix it. So say to your neighbor, say, you got to fix it. The question is, what is it? What is it? Because there are times when we think we got it going on, there's nothing to fix. And if we're ever in that place, then we need help. So honestly, the time when I know that I need help the most is when I think it's all good, I don't need to improve. Anytime we think we don't need to improve on anything, then there's an issue. It's either we're in denial or we're just deceiving, because God always takes us higher, always, always. And it's not to say we're constantly putting ourselves down. No, we're saying, well done. Because when you look, beginning at 2019, maybe we were over there, and by the end of 2019, we're here, but our goal is higher. Amen? So we just need to take stock and think, okay, this thing's ain't going to happen. And it, fix it, I-T-H. issues that will hinder, issues that hinder, those are the issues that we need to fix, okay? And sometimes as well, if we're not careful, we can blame the wrong stuff. We can blame everyone around us. We can blame our circumstances. We can blame our situations. If this was this way, then I wouldn't do that. Classic. My husband and I, there are times when I go, well, when you're talking to me, if you really want me to listen to you, then don't frown. Don't talk to me with a frown, because you're talking to me with an attitude, and if you talk to me with an attitude, then I'm not going, no. Who's got the issue? I have the issue. But you know, usually what happens is, I'm thinking, Lord, don't worry about the plank in my eyes. The plank in my eyes are now sunglasses. It's okay. I want you to deal with the speck in his eyes. Take out the speck. No, I need to take out the plank in my eyes first. Amen. I need to fix my own issues first. But I need to know what the issue is. Amen. So we're going to go to this story. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to talk about this disciple. You know, Jesus walks on water. Jesus walked on water. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read from verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent his multitudes away. So who got the disciples to get into the boat? Jesus, okay? And it says, you know, I'm just going to jump through some script verses. In verse 24, it says, but now the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Yes? And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come onto the water. Yes? Jesus had said, do not be afraid. It is I. Yes? And then Peter is saying, oh, if it's you, command me to come into the water. Okay, so maybe you wanted confirmation, because sometimes, you know, you hear the Lord say something one time and you think, oh, I got to confirm. I got to get it confirmed. You know, and then you get the confirmation. So maybe that was it. Maybe he wasn't doubting that it was you. Maybe he just wanted confirmation. And so Jesus said to him, come. And what happened? And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Amen. So what happened here? Peter walked on water, right? So Peter had enough faith to step out of the boat and walk on water. Amen? But if we go backtrack, he says, you know, verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. But you look at this. I want to go back to a verse here. Well, he says, now in the fourth watch in the night, walking on the sea, they were troubled. I'm looking for a verse where he says he got into the boat. The boat was now in the middle of the sea. Yes, verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So even before Peter spoke to Jesus to say, Lord, bid me to come. Yeah? The wind was already contrary because the boat was being tossed this way and that way. But listen, Peter still had enough faith, yeah, to step out of the boat. He had enough faith to step out of the boat, yeah? So the wind and the sea then did not deter him. But then he now got out of the boat, started walking on water, and then he looked, and then he saw. Did he not look before getting up? He saw, but listen, my point here is he had enough faith to get and walk on the water, but he needed another level of faith to walk on the water, okay? And it's interesting, when Jesus addressed him, Jesus said to him, you know, let's just go to what he said, you know, be of good cheer. Yeah, no, he was afraid. And then when he cried out, Lord, save me. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And it's amazing to say this. You know, Jesus put his finger on it. So lift up your hand right now and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to put your finger on it, on those issues that needs to be addressed, on those issues that will hinder me in my future. Lord, put a finger on it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because so Jesus immediately saved him and said, oh, you of little faith. Do you remember there was a time when Jesus was in the boat and he was sleeping, and then there was a storm, and the disciples went to Jesus and said, do you not care, master? Do you not care that we're perishing? Do you remember that story, guys? So when Jesus got up, what did he do? He did what? He rebuked the storm. He said, peace, be still. And then he said, you know, oh, he now spoke to the disciples, like, you of little faith. And then they were like, wow, this man, who is this man? So there and then, there were two issues that Jesus was dealing with. Jesus, first of all, dealt with the storm. He said, peace be still. And then, but in this case, the wind was still contrary. When Peter said, Lord, save me, Jesus said nothing to the wind. Right? Did not rebuke the wind. It was Peter, like, you of little faith. So he left the wind to be doing its own. So there are times in our lives when, if we're not careful, we will blame the wrong stuff. It was not the wind that was an issue. It was not the wind that was causing Peter to sink. It was what was on the inside of Peter. Oh, you of little faith. And that's how come that was what Jesus addressed, not the wind. Amen? Because there are times in our lives when we now start, I bind you, devil. I bind you, Satan. You want to rob me of my blessing? No. Sometimes the devil is even taking a nap. It's not the devil. It is us. I remember. And then another question. Remember, Peter was sitting on the boat, right? Who made the request to get up and walk on water? Peter. So you could say that Peter got the answer to his prayer. The times when we get answers to our prayers, and if we're not careful, we don't sort out issues in our lives, we ourselves will sink because of our issues. Amen? We ourselves, God will answer that prayer, but then if we don't sort out ourselves, we will sink. I remember growing up, I grew up on Mills and Boone, and so obviously Barbara Cotland, so romance. My tall, dark and handsome, you know, he would come riding on the horse, he would sweep me off my feet, and then we would live happily ever after. And you know, it would be love. He would wake up in the morning and tell me how gorgeous I look, and dream, pipe dream, okay? We're all entitled to dream. But you know what? When I eventually met my husband, when I finally knew he was my husband, we got married, and he was like, oh, we're going to live happily ever after. But then I had major issues that I brought into the marriage. And so before I knew what was happening, God had answered my prayers. And me, myself, I was tearing down my own house with my hands, with my very own hands. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, a wise woman builds a house. The foolish one pulls it down with her very own hands. And I was doing that. Like any little thing, I'm thinking, I'm married now, but it's okay. We didn't have mobile phones back in those days. So I'd go off to work in the city, and then I'll just decide, I'm going to hang out with my girlfriends. So therefore, I'm just going to go off after work, and I'm just going to go to Mitcham, and I'm going to come back at nighttime. Like, no communication. And Toki's eyes, by the time I get back, his eyes are bloodshot red. Like, where are you? Where have you been? Thinking, guess what they say? I was just hanging out with my girlfriends. If you want to do the same, it's okay. I won't have any issues with it. Guess what they say? You're not my father. And the fact that you're 80, like, proper attitude. But you know, God is merciful. God is so merciful. I had a big sister who would say to me, Ronke, you said that to your husband. Can you pull your ears and go apologize? I remember one day I came back. Toki is OTT, seriously. At this time, I was pregnant with my daughter, my second one, and I started spotting. So it looked as if maybe I was going to miscarry. I'd called him and said I was going out, and said, "Look, if this is happening, then don't go." And then I changed my mind. I thought, actually, you know what? He's okay. I'm just going to go out because Toki is not a doctor, so he doesn't know what he's talking about. So I'm going to go. So I decided I was going to go out. So I cooked the food, put everything away. I wheeled my son on the buggy. We went out. I came back home at 9 o'clock. By the time I came back, my husband's eyes were red, as in red. Smoke was coming out from everywhere. He was waiting for me. And I was like, "Hey, trash." Because he's trash, I'm trash. Like, "What? I was just coming back from the police station. I've gone to the police station. I've gone to look for you." And I just was laughing, like, "You went to look for you went to report a missing wife. At 7 p.m. Keske, what is it?" So initially I thought it was a joke, but he was furious because he just didn't know what was going on. I said, so what did they say to you? He said, "Your wife has to be missing for at least 24 hours. But invariably, the long and short of, I got some sense. I had some issues. But what I'm trying to say is that God blessed me with what I prayed for, but I was not pulling down with my own hands because I had issues that I brought into my marriage. So if we're not careful with the issues that we have, we bring it. And then in the name of Jesus, "Satan, you want to tear down my marriage. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Satan, get your..." And Satan said, "You're even helping me with my assignment. So my demons are somewhere else. You don't even need any demons to help you. You're doing well." So we need to get Jesus to put his hand on it. And you know what? It's amazing. We can be good in so many different... You know, you can be a high-flying career person, or you can be wonderful in your marriage, and then maybe it's your parenting, or your parenting is excellent, and it's your marriage. Or you could pray and get a job, and then the same job that you've gotten, some character issue that you haven't dealt with will now turn that job into a nightmare job. Okay, we're going to talk about David, man after God's own heart. Yes, remember David? If you think about David, what comes to your mind? He was courageous, he was bold, he was fearless, he was the one who killed lions and bears. I mean, like, when all the soldiers were running away from Goliath, who small but strong. You can be small on the outside, but a giant on the inside. That's how David was. He was big on the inside, right? He was the one who came and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who defiling the soldiers of the Lord? How dare you?" How everyone was shaking and quaking in their boots. David was not shaking and quaking. I mean, when Goliath came and said, "Who you this small boy? How dare you come to me?" David, you know, Goliath came one time. Goliath took one step. You know how giant step? David took 10 steps, ran towards him. I mean, some people, you know, when the enemy comes, you know, it's good, you know, it's good to talk. Talk is cheap if it's not backed with action. But David backed his talk with action. Like, you, David ran towards him, and before he knew what was happening, David spoke words and said, "You, I will kill you, I will take off your head," and then he did it, right? So that's the kind of man David was. Fearless, courageous, big on the inside. And then also compassionate. Remember when he became king, he was like, "Is there anyone alive in the lineage of Saul that can show compassion to?" And they brought out Mephibosheth. That's the kind of person he was. I mean, David was a man who danced, and like, he didn't care what people thought, obviously, when it came to him and God. He danced until everything came off. And he said, "I will be even more undignified than this." So he had it going on. But David was a lousy, lousy, lousy father. Lousy father. Completely just, he just didn't get it together. We'll quickly read a story. You know, the story where Amnon... You know, obviously, David had other issues. We know he had women issues. Yeah, we know that. But what I want to put, what I want to talk on this morning is about his parenting issues, right? And then just say, why was David like that? Someone who was this courageous, who was fearless, but could not deal with something as small as dealing with his own children. Okay? In the Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 13, I'll just pick up a few verses here. Talks about this son of David called Amnon. Amnon, son of David, loved Tamar. Yes? His stepsister. Yes? And then he had a rubbish friend. Look at your neighbor and say to them, make sure you don't have a rubbish friend. Tell them, make sure that you get good counsel. It's critical. You know, our lives sometimes hang in that balance. So anyway, he had a foolish friend who gave him some scheme to get Tamar, the stepsister that he loved, into his house. Anyway, so he now told David, he said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, and I may eat it from my hand. And David obliged, sent Tamar to the brother, okay? And then long and short of it was that Amnon raped his stepsister, yes? Amnon ended up raping his stepsister. And then the Bible says, after he raped her, he hated her exceedingly, verse 15. So that the hatred which he hated her was greater than the love which he had loved her. He sent her packing. So I'm going to pick up from verse 19. It says, then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her and laid her head on her head and went away crying bitterly. And verse 20, and Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister. And it was 23, and it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazel, which is near Ephraim. So Absalom invited all the king's sons. Then Absalom came to the king and said, kindly note that your servant has... Oh, let me just jump to where I want. Verse 26. Then Absalom said, if not, please let my brother go. And the king said to him, why should he go with you? Anyway, the long and short of it was, Absalom plotted a plan, right? And got Amnon killed. But it took 2 years. So basically, Absalom had more or less waited patiently for David to do something. David did nothing. The Bible says when he heard, so he heard about what happened to Tamar. Okay? Your son raped your daughter. You heard about it and you did absolutely nothing. So Tamar was desolate. Amnon eventually got killed. And so another son, so you have a murderer as a son, a rapist as a son, and a desolate daughter. And then, of course, a son who's dead. And then Absalom fled. You know, so what I want to talk about is this issue. Why was he like that? He got angry. He got angry with Goliath, but he confronted Goliath. Why could he not confront his son? Could it be that David had issues? He himself had daddy issues. Remember when Samuel went to anoint David? Jesse, David's father, called all 7 sons, did not call David. He until Samuel said, do you not have another son? So, remember, he wasn't even counted worthy to come. Jesse just didn't think it can, he just thought it can never be David, him. So what was the relationship of him and his father like? Rejection, I believe. Rejection, 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 rejection. Remember when Saul had an issue and they said, bring David in, and David was constantly playing the harp. You know, so many occasions when Saul threw the sword at David. You throw a son at me once, I ain't coming back. Let that issue kill you. It's okay because you want to kill me. But Saul kept on going back. Why? Did he keep going back to Saul? I believe he still kind of felt that, well, I still got some attention from Saul. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So Saul obviously had some, David obviously had some daddy issues. And so when his kids were misbehaving, he couldn't handle it. He couldn't deal with it. So I just want to encourage us. You know, we're going to ask the Lord, put your finger on my issue. Let's not be in denial. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not blame the devil. Because, you know, by the time David looked, one son had been killed, one had been raped, one had fled. So, you know, so he could easily say, oh, the devil did this to me. The devil came to steal, kill. No. Sometimes it's our own issues. Amen? So there are things that we can take into 2020, but there are some things that we cannot take into 2020. Whatever those issues are, we have to confront those issues and deal with those issues. Rebecca prayed a prayer. If all is well, why am I like this? So we have to be really self-aware, because sometimes you might not even think you have an issue. Sometimes I don't believe I have an issue. But, you know, God knows us more than we know ourselves. God can speak to us. And then also in God speaking to us, I believe that everyone really must have at least one person who can speak truth into your life. There must be. There's got to be. If there's no one you can take correction from or who can tell you some truth, then it's pretty dangerous. Because what will happen is we'll have people around us like Jonadab who will tell us what we want to hear. And what we want to hear will lead us into trouble. Because that's what led Amnon into trouble. If he had good counsel, he wouldn't have done what he did. So I want to really encourage us this morning. What is it? What is it? And let's not sit and think, oh, that's for my husband. That's for my friend. That's for my children. It's for me. Lord, I have stuff on the inside because I know I am work in progress. I know you want to take me from one level of glory to another level. I know that in 2020, you're going to do great and awesome things in my life. But Lord, I know that there's some things that I need to deal with here and now. So shall we rise up to our feet and just really speak to our Father right now and say, Lord, just reveal stuff. Come on. Reveal. Lord, we want the best. We want all that you have for us in 2020.